Thank you for being here tonight. Hope you've had a great day. Hope it's been filled with lots of good things. I know that for many, it's been a hectic day. It's been a busy day for some. Lots of places to be, lots of things to accomplish. But we are thankful that you are here tonight with us and that we can spend these few minutes together, praying together, singing together, thinking together about holy things and seeking to be encouraged and better informed, better equipped to be the type of people that the Lord would have us to be. So we're glad we get to share this time together. As we've been doing, we're accustomed to doing right now, remind you what we've been doing Sunday nights, the Gospel of Luke, and not just the Gospel of Luke, but the material in Luke that is apparently unique to Luke. Because so many of the things in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so often there's material that is shared and repeated and things like that, but there's things here in the Gospel of Luke that are unique to it, and we're looking at that. Tonight, that means we're looking at Luke 18, 1 through 8, the verses that David just read for us. And this is a passage that is only recorded here, a parable that's only told here. Now, of course, that what we'll look at over the course of the next few minutes as we study here together, we'll look at several different places and some of the things that we'll look at both in Luke and outside of it. You know, of course, will be familiar to us and found in numerous places. But the story itself, the parable itself, is just here. Now, upon first reading, as you go through these eight verses, it seems like that this parable, for the most part, appears to be all about prayer. Wouldn't you say? So if I were to go around and just poll the people in the audience, maybe just individually so you didn't get influenced by what other people are saying, it was just us alone, and I said, in Luke 18, 1 through 8, what's it about? Probably say, well, prayer. It's about prayer. And that's the way that it seems, because the first 7.5 verses does basically center around just this idea of prayer, and it starts by saying, he told a parable, they ought always to pray, and so it seems like it's all about prayer. But then it ends, that very last phrase there in verse 8, seems to change everything, at least in my mind, as I read through it, and I'm reading those verses, and then I get to verse 8, and it says, okay, I've said all these things about prayer. I've really put this hard emphasis on the importance of prayer. And then he says, so when I come back, because the Son of Man is going to ascend to the right hand of the Father and be there and intercede for all of you, but when I come back, when the Son of Man returns, will I find faith? What's going to be the faith situation that I find when I come back? So like, wait a minute. You've been talking about prayer this whole time. Now all of a sudden you're saying when you return, will you find faith? And so I think that gives us some really good insight that the point, that the key idea in this parable is about what Christ-like, what godly, what righteous, what fulfilling, what powerful faith is really like. It has to do with more than just prayer. It has to do with prayer, but it has to do with more than just prayer. So as we look at this tonight, there's three things that I want us to consider that we're going to talk about. Will the Lord find faith? So what we're going to say is, what is involved in this type of faith? What's the type of faith that the Lord wants to find when He returns? And it is going to deal with three things. It's going to deal with prayer, it's going to deal with persistence, and it's also going to deal with confidence. And so I think that if we're just using those three ideas, those three elements, that if I say to you, based upon Luke 18, 1 to 8, what's the kind of faith that Jesus wants to find when He returns? I hope that you will say this. He wants to find prayerful faith. He wants to find persistent faith. And He wants to find confident faith. That's what He's looking for when He returns here. So let's start with that first idea, the idea of prayer. It's easy to say that the Christian will be praying. The Christian should be a praying person, right? Because if we're really going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and we flip through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we find Jesus doing on a regular basis, even just looking only, limiting ourselves just to the Gospel of Luke, we find Jesus again and again and again going to places to be by Himself to pray. He's continually, He's forever trying to find time and places to pray. No, that I didn't say that right. He's not trying to find. He's making time. He is finding time to pray. And so if we're going to be like Jesus Christ, we're going to do the same. So it's easy to say, yes, a Christian is the person who prays. But I think it's a completely different, it's deeper and it's further to say not only will a Christian pray, but a Christian is going to be someone who seeks to pray well. And by that I mean to pray well, you're someone who does it often. And you don't do it routinely, meaning you don't do it in a way that you don't give it any thought. Just recently, some of us were together with some other church workers and leaders and elders and these types of things. And the statement was made, it was brought up, that when it comes to certain things, maybe in your job, when you go to work, that you might drive the same pathway every single day. Maybe you take that same road. You know just exactly how many minutes it takes to get to this stop sign and then to that stoplight, and you know how long that stoplight will be. You know all about it. You've done that drive so many times. If you've done it so many times, it might be the case that one of these days you get to work and you think, I don't even remember going through those intersections. I don't remember having done that because I was just on autopilot. I woke up and here I am. You weren't really thinking about what you needed to be doing. You know what I'm talking about. And sometimes that's the way we approach worship. Sometimes that's the way we approach our prayers. I wonder how many of us, if we were to be caught off guard and someone were to approach us right after we've said a prayer and they said, tell me what you just prayed about. Tell me what was included in the prayer you just prayed. And how many of us would go, I know I said, Dear Heavenly Father, and I know I said Amen at the end, but all the stuff in between, I guess it's just stuff I've said 10 million times before. I don't really remember. I wonder how many of us would have to be honest and say, that's kind of the way I pray. Well, what we're seeking to be is the kind of people who will pray often and who will pray with feeling, pray with emotion, pray effective prayers that aren't just something we've ripped off of a page somewhere else and we're just saying it because someone else did and we just say it over and over and over again. But we're really truly seeking to communicate with the God of this world. Look at Luke 11 for a moment. Here in Luke 11, we're going to see some things that are familiar in other passages, but staying just in Luke, look at what he says. Luke 11 verse 1, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Of course he is. Jesus is forever praying. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And so Jesus said, and this is what you find in Matthew 6. Matthew 6 is the more well-known version of what we're reading here. But he says, well, when you pray, this is the approach you ought to take. Because Jesus absolutely does not expect us to use these very words and only these words when we pray. Because Jesus himself would offer different words at other times. So he says, this is the manner in which you should do it. You approach your Heavenly Father this way. You give him glory and honor because you call him Father. He's for all of us. And you say, hallowed be your name. I want your name to be glorified and magnified like we spoke of this morning. I want great things to be about for you and for your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day, each day, our daily bread as we... And he says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And he said, and continuing on that, Jesus said, as I continue to instruct you, to inform you, to lead you in how to pray... He said, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey. I have nothing to set before him. He'll answer from within, don't bother me. The door's shut. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and get you anything. I refuse. We're tucked in. We don't want to bother. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence, because of his persistence, his interjecting himself here, he says he will rise up and give him what he needs. And then lesson number 3 in prayer is this. He says, and I tell you, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks it'll be opened. Because what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will they give him a scorpion? He says that won't happen. Because if you then, even you, who are evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He says, this is the way in which you approach things. You should be one who recognizes the special place, the unique place, the powerful place of the Father, how He's the one who gives bread, how He's the one who gives blessings, how He's the one who heals, He's the one who forgives. And you should do it in a way that you persist, your continual, knowing that when you knock and you seek and you ask, that these blessings are given. So many very similar lessons taught there that we find in chapter 18. And speaking of chapter 18, if you flip back to Luke 18, not only do we see Luke giving emphasis to the proper way to pray, but Luke will even give emphasis to the improper way to pray. The very next story that's told in Luke 18 that begins at verse 9, he says, Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. He says, two men went to the temple to pray. Now, the main idea of this parable is about those who trust in themselves rather than in trusting in the Lord. But the image he uses, the lesson he uses, is in prayer. And this first guy who trusts self prays this way, I'm glad I'm not like all of you sorry sinners. He doesn't ask for anything. He doesn't glorify God in any way. And so in essence, Luke is saying, here's an example of how not to do it. If this is the way you pray, you've got a problem. So here's the deal. Here's what we want to say about point one, about being prayerful people. The Lord's people will be intentional about their prayers, but they'll be passionate about their prayers. They will be those who will carve out time, make sure there's time, make sure that they're offering their hearts and their minds and their souls to the God above. They will make sure they're praying, and they will do it with real feeling, because this is a time where I am sharing my heart and my life with my God. I dare not be so disrespectful to my Lord that I just offer him mindless, repeated chatter. Surely we wouldn't treat someone we love in such a way. So the first thing is this, to say that one is full of faith. Because remember, all this is about Luke 18:8. When the Son of Man returns, what kind of faith will he find? Will he find deep, powerful, Christ-like faith? To say one is full of faith, to say one is faithful to Jesus, is to say, this person prays. And when we say this person prays, we mean all those things we just said. They do it regularly. They do it with feeling. They do it with the Heavenly Father in mind and His glory in mind. To say this one is faithful to Jesus, the kind of faith that Jesus wants to find when he returns, is a person who prays. The second lesson I think that we get out of Luke 18, 1 through 8, is not only being prayerful people, but also being persistent people. The defining characteristic of this woman in the parable is that she just kept on coming. That's why the parable, you might have a little note there above verse 1 in your Bibles, I do. It says, the parable of the persistent widow. Anybody have something similar to that in their text? The parable of the persistent widow. And then here follows the words. Well, that was what most people know her for. That's what she was defined by in this parable, is that she just kept on returning. That's what it says, is that there's this woman who just kept returning and finally wore the judge out. The judge says, she's beating me down. By the way, she just keeps on requesting. That's actually what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for people who will be relentless in their offering of prayer. He's looking for people who will be dogged in their pursuit of Him, in their passionate pursuit of who He is and how they seek to be more like Him. Let me show you real quick two examples of this kind of faith here in the Gospel of Luke. Go to Luke 5, verse 20. In Luke 5, beginning at verse 17, we have the account of where Jesus heals the paralytic man, the man who's paralyzed, can't walk. Remember, he's got those friends of his who will carry him in on the bed, and they seek to get to Jesus, but the crowd is too great, too thick, too dense. They can't get to Jesus and put this friend in front of him. And so undaunted, they go up to the roof. They tear the roof open, and they drop the man down in front of Jesus there. So think about all they're going through. First of all, just to carry this guy, I mean, that in and of itself, that's not an easy task, to pack a human from one place to another. So first of all, they're showing great faith by being so willing to carry this man in this place. Then they're not put off by the crowd. Then they're not put off by the roof. Nothing is going to stop them. They won't let anything stop them. They're not going to let anything come between them and the Lord. That's the type of relentless faith that the Lord is looking for. Then there's chapter 8. Go to chapter 8, verse 48. In Luke 8, verses 43 through 48, we have this woman who's had a continual problem for 12 years. And she fights through a crowd. Again, the crowds are thick around Jesus at this time, and the crowds are very thick around him here. Elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder is the type of crowd we're talking about as Jesus seeks to make his way from one place to another. In fact, he's on a mission to go help another man and his family. And as he's on his way to go and help this family, this woman sort of fights her way through the crowd and sneaks up and touches his garment, and she's instantly healed. And note what he says. The woman has noticed that she's not hidden in verse 47, and so she comes trembling and falls down before Jesus, and she declares in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and she declared how she had been immediately healed. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." 12 years without relief. Don't you know after like a few months, don't you get beaten down by being sick after just a few days, let alone something that goes on for months and years? 12 years she's fought this, yet she doesn't give up. Huge crowds are there. I can just imagine the picture in my mind's eye as Jesus is seeking to make his way from one place to another, the way that this crowd would have been and how hard it would have been not just to have seen Christ, but to have actually worked your way up to where you could get close enough to touch his clothing. She didn't let the years bother her. She didn't let the crowd bother her. She wouldn't let anything stop her. Nothing was coming between her and the Lord. And Jesus said, "Your persistence, your dogged pursuit of me has healed you." The faithful, like this woman and like the men in Luke 5 and like this woman in a parable here of Luke 18, the faithful are going to face hardships. The faithful are going to face heartache. But the faithful aren't going to give up. Very, very often, in fact, well more often than we would like, life's not going to be easy. We're going to hear the word no well more than we would like to hear it. We're going to be silenced by people well more often than we're going to like it. We're going to be mistreated by people. We're going to be bullied by people. We're going to be treated shamefully. We're going to be put in bad places often. And so very, very often, life's not going to be easy. In fact, more often than not, more often than we'd like to admit, easy answers are going to be hard to find. But what the Lord is calling on us to do is to keep reaching out, to keep trusting. He wants us to say, in effect, "Lord, I don't know, but Lord, you know. And so I'm casting these things upon you. I'm putting these things at the foot of your throne. I'm relying upon you to take care of it. And I'm going to keep doing that tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day." Because the one who's full of faith, the one who is faithful to Jesus, is the one we can say of it, "This person is persistent. This person will not give up." She's known as the persistent widow here in Luke 18. The type of faith that the Lord was looking to find when he returned was not just people who will pray, but people who will keep on praying. Who will keep on praying even when life has been turned upside down, even when it seems like we're being squeezed and nothing is going right. He says, "What I'm looking for when I return is for the one who will keep on calling out to me." We could think of those, the psalmists, the prophets like Habakkuk. Over and over we read through the Old Testament of these prophets who will say things like, "Why? How much longer? How many more? Why do they get this?" But what they keep doing is they keep calling out to God. They don't finally just throw up their hands and say, "Well, I've asked why too many times and that was my last one. I'm calling it quits." The type of faith the Lord is seeking to find is the one who will keep on praying. And thirdly and finally, the type of faith that the Lord is looking for is not just one who will pray and not just one who will be persistent and dogged in their prayers, but the one who will be confident in their prayers that they offer. As I read through Luke 18, 1 through 8, I see a woman here who is confident that she, first of all, was in a position to receive justice. It says that there's this woman, it says verse 2, "In a certain city there's a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, but there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. She's confident that she's in a position to receive justice. But I think even more than that, even more than she's confident in her position, I think she's confident in the position and the power and the authority of the judge. Not to be confused with she thinks that he's a good guy, but she's convinced that he has the power. And so she is confident that this judge has the authority to give her what she needs. This judge is in a place to give her the justice that she so desperately desires. And so that's why she keeps going to him, because she's confident he can do something about it. There's good examples and bad examples here in the Gospel of Luke. A bad example of this type of faith that we're talking about would be the disciples in Luke 8:25. Luke 8:25, they're the ones who are terrified and pleading with the Lord to help them. And you look there in Luke 8:25, look at what Jesus says. I just read this verse real quick. He says in Luke 8:25, where is your faith? See, the idea here, I've been asleep, but when I get up from my slumber and come up out of the bottom of the boat and come up and find you, I want to come up and find you up here on the top part of the boat, faithful. He says, I come up here and I find you afraid. Where's your faith? They were afraid and they marveled, and they said to one another, who is this that even he commands the wind and the water, and even those things obey him? But then a good example is from Luke 7, verse 9. Where in Luke 7:9 we find this centurion who has a servant that he so desperately wants to be healed. And all he does, he's calling for Jesus to help. But he says, Jesus, don't come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I know you're so amazing. You're so powerful. You're so full of authority. All you've got to do is say the word. From wherever you are, you say the word and my servant will be healed. And so Jesus says in Luke 7, verse 9, he marvels, Jesus marvels, and turns to the crowd that's following him, and he says, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. This is the confident kind of faith that I'm looking for. Someone who knows that I'm so powerful, I'm so full of divine authority, all I have to do is desire it, to speak it, and it'll be accomplished. Jesus says, that's the kind of faith I'm looking for. So in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, this is what the Bible says, that the approach that you and I ought to have to something like prayer. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. With confidence draw near to God when you bow before Him, that we may receive mercy. Do you think you need mercy? Are you in a place where you think it might be nice to have divine mercy? He says, come before me in confidence. He says that you might find grace to help in time of need. Do you need grace? Do you need the kindness and the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ? I have lots of times of need. I have lots of times where I say, I'm in such great need, I need your grace, Almighty God. He says, what you should do is draw near to the throne of grace with confidence so that you might receive mercy and find grace to help. Do I really believe that God can do what He says He can do? Do I believe that He can save me, that He can help me, that He can comfort me? Do I believe He can do what He says He can do? Maybe more than that, do I believe that He will do what He says He'll do? To say that one is full of faith, to say that one is faithful to Jesus, to say that one has the type of faith that Jesus is looking for when He returns, is to say this person is confident that God will act on their behalf. In Luke 18:1-8, Jesus says, look, if you can understand this parable, that if there's a certain case where even this despicable, unrighteous judge, that if even a guy like that will grant justice, well then what do you think the loving, merciful, gracious, and kind Lord of all will do if there are those who patiently and persistently and confidently bring their request to Him? What do you think the gracious God of the world will do? The message is, He will bless them. He will save them. He will protect them. So when the Lord returns, what will He find? His desire is to find faith. He longs to find confident, patient, prayerful people. The question for us in this place tonight is, does that describe us? When the Lord returns, will he find faith? He's looking for these confident, patient, prayerful people. And that ought to describe you. It ought to describe me. If there's any way that we can help you in this quest, help you in this endeavor to be the type of person displaying the faith that the Lord so desperately seeks, then let us know how we can help. While together we stand and sing.